Many children will use any excuse in the book not to do their chores, whether it's not to clean up their room, to walk their dog, to take out the garbage. All of a sudden, they'll begin to realize that they have homework or they have something really important to do at that moment. In reality, there shouldn't be any valid excuse. When your parent tells you to do something, you have to listen to them. Interestingly enough, the Talmud itself, the Gemara Megillah, tells us of a valid excuse that a child can use to escape having to do any chores. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoser Mikibud Avaim. If you would take honoring your parents on one side and Torah study on the other, which one is greater? Says the Talmud that greater is Torah study, even greater than honoring one's parents. How do we find this? Shikol Osan Shanim, for all of the years, Shahaya Yaakov Avinu Bebeis Eiver Lo Nenesh, that although Yaakov spent many years studying in the yeshiva of Shem Be'Eiver, as is mentioned in our parsha, as the parsha tells us that Yaakov slept on that day, Vayishka B'Makam Ahu, means Ba'oso Makam Shachav, only then at that moment, of a Yud Dalad Shanim, but for the 14 years, Shishimesh Be'Beis Shem Be'Eiver, well, Shachav B'Layla, he did not sleep, Shoy Isaac B'Torah, he was engaged in Torah study. And therefore, says the Talmud, that although for an additional 22 years he was punished for separating himself from his father, from his mother, those 14 years he was not punished because he was involved in learning Torah. So we find by Yaakov greater is Lima Torah than his respect and honoring of his parents. What exactly does that mean? Like, can you imagine that you have a child, and you ask them to do an errand for you. You say, could you do me a favor? I just checked the refrigerator. We have no milk. Could you go to the supermarket and get a carton of milk for us? After all, we have breakfast in a few minutes. No problem. You give him the car keys. 5 minutes go by. 10, a half hour, an hour. He doesn't show back. He doesn't come back until the next evening. Turn to your son and say, what on earth happened? I asked you to do me a favor to get some milk. Why can't you listen to me? A simple task. And he says, you know, you're right, I was middle driving. I said, you know, I have a really nice class I'd like to go to. I want to be able to learn some Torah. So I said, Dad, you know what, I'm not going to listen to you. Does that make any sense? It wasn't a time for him to be involved in Lima Torah. It wasn't time for him to listen to his parents. So why does the Gemara tell us that by Yaakov Avinu, that he was allowed to ignore his parents and to not worry about the mitzvah of Kibbud Av, of showing respect to Yitzchak, his father, instead to be learning Torah? Furthermore, one can ask, Yaakov Avinu seemed to already have enough Torah knowledge. We mentioned in previous Parsha that Yaakov was an Ishtam, Yoshev Ahalin. He was a perfect man, and he was constantly engaged in Torah study. Furthermore, we look at two of the greatest people that ever walked the face of this earth, Avraham, his grandfather, and Yitzchak, his father. Wouldn't you want to believe that he was able to learn everything that he needed to, Torah-wise, from these two great Torah giants? Why was it necessary for him to go to some other school, the Yeshiva of Shem Eiver? It would be almost compared to leaving an Ivy League university to go to some community college. What could he possibly have learned from Shem Eiver that he had not yet learned from his father, from his grandfather, Avraham and Yitzchak? To answer all these questions, all we need to do, based on the words of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer Emes Liakov, is look at the very first word of our Parsha, which also happens to be the name of our Torah reading, Vayetze. Vayetze Yaakov Miber Shava, that Yaakov went out. The reality is, it seems as though this is just telling us one small event in history, that Yaakov left point A and he went to point B. But as as we know, the name of a parsha is not just to teach us that one sentence, but it really gives us an entire picture of what the entire reading is going to be about. And today's reading is about Vayetze. And today's reading is about going out. That Yaakov left his world, a world true of morals and ethics and great Torah values. But Yaakov lived in an insulated world. He was Yoshev Ohalim. He lived inside. He lived in an environment that never allowed anything but Kedushah and Tahara, holiness and purity, to enter. This was the Torah of his father and grandfather, of Avraham and Yitzchak. So much so that we find even by Yishmael, Avraham's child, that as soon as he began to show some signs of being a potential negative influence in the household, he was immediately expelled. As soon as he was mesachek, showing that he was a jokester, fooling around, Sarah Imenu turned to her husband and said, Garish es ama azos v'esmina. Get rid of this maidservant Hagar and her child, her son Yishmael. For if they don't know how to act in accordance to Torah values, they have no business living here in our city, in our home. And indeed, they left. But this was only the perspective and the lifestyle that Yaakov was accustomed to living. But it was not the lesson plans submitted in the Yeshiva of Shem Be'Eber. These co-founders of this school, Shem and Eber, understood something differently. Unlike the sheltered environment that Yaakov lived, Shem and Eber understood that in our lives, we cannot always live in a bubble. That it's necessary to go out, Vayetze, to go out into the real world. And sometimes that real world, because of its negative environment, could very easily have an influence on you. And therefore, Shem and Eber were the two individuals that were able to teach people how to be able to behave when you are Vayetze, when you have to go out into the real world. We study these two individuals, Shem. Shem was the son of Noach. That they lived in a very difficult time. A generation called the Dor HaMabul. The generation of the flood. When Shem noticed the entire world was corrupt and immoral. But with his father's Torah, when he learned by his father Noach, he learned of Torah's Golos. The way to be able to maintain spirituality and a Torah lifestyle, even in a negative environment. Shem learned not to be influenced by the world around him. Eber also, he did not live in the Dor HaMabul, but he lived in a later generation, the Dor HaFlaga, the generation of the dispersion. It was a time when the world came together as they spoke of one language, of one tongue, and they plotted to wage a war, a milchama against God, by building a huge edifice, an enormous tower, all the way up toward the Shemayim, up to the heavens, to fight against Hashem. And Eber witnessed all of this unfold behind his eyes, and he also was not influenced by the society around him. He allowed also the teaching of Torah Skolos, of being able to follow Torah even when he was Vayetze, he was out in a world of negativity. It protected him from such influences. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky that this is the message of our Parsha. Vayetze Yaakov, that Yaakov Avinu was indeed going out, not just from his home or his town, but from the protection of the outside world. He was now on pursuit to leave this world and to go into the house of Lavan. Lavan Harami, a man who was a trickster and corrupt. It was therefore necessary for Yaakov to learn from shame and aver, masters in self-control and self-restraint. To be able to be just like the Teva, this ark, this box, in which Noach and Shem lived. And the purpose of that Teva was to protect those people inside from the destructive, possible damaging and killing of the outside of that box of that Teva, the outside world. So too Shem taught Yaakov and everyone that attended his university, his yeshiva, to create within yourself the same type of Teva, the same type of wall, a spiritual wall protection between your beliefs and the negative worlds and the negative influences of a Lavan, a Russia, a wicked and corrupt individual, human being. With this, perhaps we now can understand that this is really what his father Yitzchak always wanted. Yitzchak would only have wanted Yaakov to come back from the house of Lavan in the same way that he had left his house from Yitzchak. That he should be able to come back from the house of Lavan as a tzaddik, untarnished from sin. Yitzchak understood that his son lived a sheltered life, and the only way that Yaakov could perhaps survive the temptations of the outside world of Lavan is to fortify himself in this yeshiva to refrain from the temptations of Lavan. And we must ask, was Lavan able to get the best of Yaakov? Was Yaakov successful? And the Torah tells us that Yaakov testifies about himself that im Lavan garti, that although I lived with Lavan, the Taryag Mitzvot Shemarti, I still was able to adhere to every single mitzvah, all 613 commandments, the Lamanti Mimasim Haroim, and I did not learn from the evil actions, the evil ways of Lavan. And therefore we see that what Yitzchak wanted from his son was for him to learn Torah. His Lima Torah did not conflict with the mitzvah of Kibud Av, of honoring his father. Rather, Yaakov fulfilled his father's desires every step of the way. And this emotion, this knowledge of being able to live in a Vayetze and to go out into the real world was eventually passed over from Yaakov to one of his children, to Yosef. The Torah tells us in a couple of weeks in Parshas Vayeshev, that V'Yisrael ohav es Yosef mikol banav, that Yaakov loved Yosef, ki ben zekunim hulo, because he was ben zekunim, says Rashi, bringing the words of the unkelus, bar chachim. A zaken doesn't mean that he was old, or doesn't mean that he was a child of his age when he was old, but rather it means he was like an older person with Torah knowledge, that Yosef was a very smart boy. And continues the Rashi, that Rashi says, Kol ma shalamad mishem ve'ever masarlo, that all the Torah that Yaakov learned in this yeshiva in those 14 years, he taught everything that he knew to Yosef, and only to Yosef. And one could ask, why does it say in the Rashi, Shem Ve'ever, say that he taught him Torah? What is this extra Torah of Shem Ve'ever? And furthermore, Yaakov, who loved Torah, he loved all of his children. Why couldn't he teach all of his children the Torah of Shem Ve'ever? Why only Yosef? And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains so beautifully that Yaakov had tremendous foresight, and he saw something about Yosef, that Yosef one day will have to also, Vayetze, go out somehow, some way, to go and live in an environment of corruption, a makom tuma, of a place which does not embrace Torah values. And of course, Yosef, in fact, lived in a community, in a country, Mitzrayim, a country which had tuma, which was immoral and corrupt. The greatness of Yosef is that even after he left, he's called Yosef HaTzadik. For he was able to leave Mitzrayim as a tzaddik and not be influenced by that negativity, by the corruption of all the people around him. But it was only through this learning, the message of the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, to be able to live a life of Torah even in such an environment. And therefore Yaakov taught Yosef, and Yosef only. This was the University of Shem and Ever. And like all universities, they have acronyms for their names. For example, Yeshiva University is YU. Perhaps the Yeshiva of Shem Ever would be U for University, S for Shem, and A for Ever. USA. I have another acronym. USA could stand for something else. The USA. The United States of America. We who live in America are so fortunate. We live in a time, in an era, in a country where we could essentially do whatever we want, to be able to practice what we want, to be able to make decisions without being told what to do. But sometimes that too could be a very dangerous thing. I once heard a powerful quote that the Jewish nation, we survived thousands of years of persecution in Europe. And it's a wonder if we'll survive even 100 years of tolerance in America. The message of our parsha is twofold. Vayetze Yaakov, that even the great Yaakov Avinu needed to create certain walls of separation to educate himself, to protect himself from the cultures of society. But I believe Vayetze Yaakov is teaching us a very important lesson. We have to understand that we should not be afraid of living in the outside world, of going outside of Vayetze. But rather, when we do so, we must make sure to bring along with ourselves the Torah of Shem Ve'Ever. We're now in the month of Kislev. As we mentioned before, Kislev is a time in which we remember the holiday of Hanukkah and the Yevanim, the Syrian Greeks, whose interest was not to attack our bodies, to kill us physically, but rather to poison our minds with Hellenism, with their Greek culture. And nowadays, we can liken and compare American culture to Hellenism, to Greek culture. And Hanukkah is really something, a struggle, which we have every day of our lives. For we can look at a frum Jew and ask ourselves, how am I any different than the rest of the world? You take me, I'm wearing a suit. Perhaps you'll see me at a baseball game wearing a baseball hat. I follow the same things. I have the same desires. I have a house, a car, just like my neighbor. What sets me apart from someone who is not a Jew? And we look at the word Yavan. Yavan is spelled Yud Vav Nun. And the only difference between what Yavan, what the Greeks wanted, and ourselves is one letter. We represent not Yavan, but Sion, Tzadi Yud Vav Nun. And within ourselves, Sion is Yavan. Embracing the culture, the environment, Vayetze Yaakov, going out. But we must remember that before the Yavan is the Tzadi, the letter Tzadi, which is also Tzadik, righteousness. That we have to remember that although we look like Yavan, we always must put the Tzadi first, to remember that no matter where we are, which culture we embrace, we must remember that we're a Jew. And by doing so, it'll be very apparent and very clear that we are straight A students and we have graduated cum laude from the yeshiva of shame, the Eiver. Good shot.